From the Emery Wheel, I'm Catherine Eniezwe, and this is Wheel Talk. Last summer, Emory renamed one of its largest first-year residence halls, Longstreet Means, to Eagle Hall, after calls over the years to acknowledge its namesakes Augustus Longstreet and Alexander Means' racist histories. The renaming of Eagle Hall mirrors national and local attempts to address honors given to controversial figures. In the wake of America's racial reckoning, heightened in the summer of 2020, over 160 Confederate symbols were removed across the United States, more than the previous 4 years combined. A number of universities have also renamed buildings and other places previously honoring individuals with contentious legacies. But among the names recommended to Emory President Gregory Fenves, only buildings and professorships containing Longstreet's name were removed. Now, a group of faculty, students, and alumni are calling for Fenves to take further action in addressing the controversial histories of those Emory chooses to memorialize. We're joined by Eva Reutberg, an assistant news editor and one of the reporters covering this story, to discuss the process of renaming honors at the university, the response of the Emory community to the progress that has been made so far, and their continued advocacy for the changes they still wish to see. Hi, Eva. Can you start by explaining the current situation of honors at Emory? There's been a lot of controversy surrounding honors dedicated to people with racist and discriminatory histories. Who are these people and what honors do they hold at Emory?
So there are several honors on campus which are named after men with controversial pasts. This includes Lucius Quintus Cincinnatus, or more commonly known as LQC Lamar. He has two professorships at the law school. The National Primate Research Center, located in Emory's main campus, is named after Robert Yerkes. Augustus Longstreet has a residence hall and a professorship named after him. And there are others like Atticus Haygood and George Foster Pierce that are contested.
In the article, you go into more detail about the legacies of Robert Yerkes and LQC Lamar in particular. Can you tell us more about these men? Who were they? What did they do? And what kinds of views did they have?
So Yerkes was one of the most prominent eugenicists of the 20th century. He advocated for the elimination, the isolation, and the sterilization of what he called the biologically unfit. His definition of biologically unfit was determined from decades of racist research into eugenics, such as bias in xenophobic IQ tests. And these tests ultimately led to the sterilization of 60,000 people. He also praised Nazi Germany quite frequently as a model for eugenics in the US, and published articles where he would state that he regretted that the US wasn't going as far with eugenics as Nazi Germany was. Lamar, he was a associate Supreme Court justice. He was a big advocate for secession during the Civil War. He championed white supremacy. And then following the Civil War, he did not lose these values. He was a huge negotiator in the Compromise of 1877, which effectively led to U.S. troops being pulled out of southern states during Reconstruction, ending Reconstruction for the South. He was also a big supporter of the Dawes Act, which led to hundreds of thousands of Native Americans being expelled from their land in what is now commonly known as the Trail of Tears.
So what steps has the university taken to address the honoring of these contentious figures?
So President Gregory L. Fenves appointed in 2019 a committee called the University Committee of Naming Honors. And they came out with a report in 2021 with that recommended removing the names of Lamar, Yerkes, Longstreet, Haygood, and Pierce. They recommended all of them be removed. This report was carefully done on the basis of You know, what are the good aspects of this person's legacy? What are the bad aspects of their legacy? Kind of a utilitarian calculus where they ultimately weigh that the bad aspects of each individual's legacy outweighed, so that their names should be removed. However, President Fenves only acted on removing Longstreet's names from these honors. So he changed Longstreet Meade's residence hall to Eagle Hall. And he changed Longstreet Professor of English to Emory College of Arts and Sciences Distinguished Professor of English.
Has there been other responses from the Emory community on these honors?
Yes. So recently, for about a year, this group called the Emory Community Members for Historical Accountability has been formed. This is a group of alumni, faculty, and students, many of them from the law school, and they advocate for, particularly they've been advocating for changes to the LQC Lamar professorships, given that that's what's familiar to them since many of them are law school students or ex-law school students. But they've also recently started advocating as well for the name changes to Yerkes. We spoke with Professor of Law, George Shepherd, who has been at the forefront of advocating for Yerkes' name to be removed.
But so President Fenves has been saying he's going to consult with people about, mm-hmm. and so I have sent emails to him saying, hey, I'm your guy on Yerkes. I know more about it than anybody. I'd be delighted to consult with you about Yerkes. And then an alumni group and also faculty and students have signed a letter that appeared in the Wheel mm-hmm. Relatively recently saying, hey, come on, Emory, do the right thing here. But still, there's nothing. And I'm on the University Senate, and he recently said that, well, he's still thinking about it, and there'll be an announcement sometime later in the spring.
So the members of the Emory Community Members for Historical Accountability, how have they responded to Fenves' actions so far?
They say it's not enough. We spoke to several law school alumni, two being Jason Esteves and the other being Kyrie Hitchens, who said that the response won't suffice until other names are changed.
At the end of the day, they decided not to remove the names of three men.
Right.
And until that is done, the response will not suffice. For example, Lamar was a slave owner, he was leader of the secession. It's unclear why we wouldn't apply the rule across the board versus picking and choosing who we're choosing to honor as a university.
It seems to be the kind of response that just wants to drag its feet and not really respond and do anything. I don't know why the university changed one name of all of the five that were recommended by the naming committee, not the others.
What does the Emory administration have to say about the pace of this renaming process? Why only rename honors previously dedicated to Longstreet and not others?
So we spoke to Assistant Vice President of Emory Communications and Marketing, Laura Diamond, and she said that Emory is, and I quote, actively evaluating the recommendations of the University Committee of Naming Honors, consulting with experts and considering the perspectives of Emory students, faculty, staff, leadership, and alumni, end quote. And she also said that there would be an update to come from Fenves by the end of the semester. We also spoke to the chair of the University Committee of Naming Honors, Fred Smith, and he said that Fenves kind of reached the conclusion to remove Longstreet's name quicker than others, but that Fenves is still evaluating the other names.
So the reporting that Ashley Drew, another reporter at The Wheel, and you did on renaming controversial honors goes beyond Emory. This is also a problem for the larger Atlanta community as well. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so we spoke to professor of practice at Georgia State University, Douglas Blackman, and he stated that Atlantis history is fundamentally tied to the Confederacy. So he says that there's a significant amount of Confederate commemorations strewn throughout Atlanta as a result of post-war sentiments. So there is a significant amount of construction of Confederate monuments and street dedications, which occurred during the height of post-war grief and what was the beginnings of a significant white supremacist campaign in Atlanta. So an example of this commemoration is Confederate Avenue, which was constructed in the 19th century in Southeast Atlanta. And it led directly to an area that was associated with ex-Confederate soldiers' homes. So in response, and this was spurred by the 2017 Charlottesville white supremacist rally, there was the Atlanta Confederate Monuments Advisory Committee that was created. And this committee recommended changing Confederate Avenue to United Avenue. And so the avenue was changed. However, the committee was pretty short-lived. It only lasted 6 weeks when the Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed's term was ending.
So this committee, the Atlanta's Confederate Monuments Advisory Committee, what goals did they have? And were there any particular challenges to their pursuit to re-examine Atlanta's Confederate history?
Yeah, so one goal the committee had was to form a criteria for renaming streets. They haven't been able to do that yet. A challenge that the committee faced was with legally protected monuments. Shafield Hale, who is the president of the Atlanta History Center, said that he became a member of the Confederate Monuments Advisory Committee in 2017 because he wanted to encourage more conversations around removing these Confederate monuments, and he wanted to engage more city residents in these conversations. However, Claire Haley, the Atlanta History Center's vice president of public relations, said that these conversations are difficult to have when it's not even an option to remove these monuments because Georgia state law protects these monuments from being removed, which means that it's not an option to remove them. And so even if they go through these processes and evaluate that these monuments are detrimental to the community, there's not too much that can be done about it. Hale, in particular, worked to evaluate the Peace Monument in Piedmont Park, which was erected in 1911 as a reconciliation effort between the North and South. However, it excluded Black people amid the restrictive Jim Crow era. And he said that when the committee suggested that the monument be removed, Georgia law halted any further action. With these legal restrictions, the best that the committee could do was install context panels on the monument, which would kind of contextualize the history behind the structure. Another challenge that the committee members found was opposition during the committee hearings. Blackman said that a significant amount of opposers supported the lost cause mythology around the Confederacy and consistently made arguments that taking down these monuments would erase history. He noted that many of these opposers would internalize the removal of monuments as an attack on their identity as white people, and they would voice really strong opposition to it. However, he said that this opposition sort of supports the fact that Atlanta is still surrounded with endless reminders of the city's role in preserving slavery.
So what hopes do members of the committee and other concerned members of the Atlanta community have for the future, especially in regards to these conversations on the legacies that are memorialized throughout the city?
So there's hope that current conversations will awaken people, make them become aware of the meaning behind the monuments that they've previously ignored, particularly the street names and such that aren't obviously relics to the Confederacy. There's hope that there will be increased education surrounding these street names. And they envision a future where there's a depiction of Atlanta that is not fundamentally tied to white supremacy.
So the difficulties that emerge from embarking on a mission to address controversial legacies in Atlanta is evidence of the tension between preserving history and remedying issues derived from that history. Going back to Emory specifically, what do members of the Emory community have to say about this struggle?
Many of the people we spoke to said that there are ways to recognize history without honoring men who contributed to these historical atrocities.
Emory just needs to think carefully about whether who it wants to honor. Mm-hmm. And does it want to honor racist anti-Semitic people?
You honor them by studying their history, studying their accomplishments, and obviously by doing that, inherently recognizing what they've done. But to have the distinction of having a program or a building named after them, that is amongst the highest of honors.
Right.
And that should be bestowed on people who represent the values of that institution.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Will Talk. Don't forget to subscribe to Will Talk and the Will's other podcast, Within the Margins, wherever you get your podcasts. Will Talk is produced by Catherine Eniezwe, Ninad Kulkarni, Gabriela Lewis, Haitian Nguyen, Carly Colum, Kaylin Chin, with help from Jaden Davis and Kira Barrage. Music by Pond5 and cover art by Kaylin Chin.